Hi, welcome. So here we are today with Leon Van Der Poel. Am I saying that right?
You are. That's perfect.
Oh, good. My name is odd enough that I really think it's important to pronounce other people's correctly. And Leon is from his School of Light and Life. You want to give us the website?
I will, yes. It's www.schoolofliteandlife.com, LIGHT and AND, life, LIFE.com, schoolofliteandlife.com.
Wonderful. And Leon is a coach, a transformational spiritual coach. He is the founder and director of the School of Light and Love, an online learning center dedicated to supporting spirit-based personal and planetary transformation. He has spent the last 15 years immersed in the dynamics of personal, interpersonal, and organizational change. His work integrates powerful personal and group coaching skills honed by years of training and facilitation experience with a natural, intuitive strength. As a gifted transformational coach and healer, Leon is dedicated to helping people awaken to the power of their inner reality and to lead and serve from that place. He is also an internationally recognized coach, trainer, and mentor. Since 2009, he has served as a facility trainer for the International Coach Academy, one of the world's leading providers of coach training. He has mentored and taught hundreds of coaches from all around the world who have said yes to the inner call to live purposefully in the service of something much greater than themselves. At the School of Light and Life, he has created and leads the Deep Coaching Intensive, a coach training program which teaches coaches and healers how to go deep into using a spirit-based approach to supporting people through profound inner transformation. And we all seem to be living through a time of profound transformation, both inner and outer. And as a result, the topic we're going to discuss today is the inner call to transform into a whole new way of being, a new way of listening. This period of profound inner transformation is usually one of uncertainty and confusion as to what is happening within. Fearing the unknown, many people turn away from this call to transform, resisting what is trying to emerge because they do not know what it means or holds for them. So during this show, we will have a conversation with you about key insights into the transformational human process to help you understand with clarity what you may be experiencing or witnessing. This is an opportunity to find ways to say yes to the inner call to transform your highest vision for yourself, leading you to a life experience far beyond that which you are experiencing today. And I originally connected with Leon online because his website is beautiful and he does marvelous. Are they monthly?
Monthly.
Monthly meditations and invitations to share this with people all over the world, which is one of the things I love about his work. And I'm really curious. One of my deep curiosities, Leon, is why so international and how did you get there? What was the part of your call that led you to being this person that deals with people from all over the world?
It was part my own desire to really work with a global community. I think that's just part of my inherent nature. I've been one from a young age has always been terribly fascinated with the world. You know, going way back to my childhood when I had this large stack of National Geographic magazines, you know, flip through them endlessly, looking at, you know, the fascinating people and cultures and places around the world. And that led to a period of time in my life where I did extensive traveling around the world. And I then ended up moving from my home, which is Canada, to live in a few different countries. And I've settled over the last 15 years in a little known country named Taiwan. And being in Taiwan, I was able to work here with the local communities for some years. But I was noticing that the kind of work that I was moving towards, it was kind of evolutionary in the way I was moving towards this work, was calling for something larger than it seemed I was able to do just here in Taiwan. And so it led to the opening of the online school and then beginning to serve a more global community in that way, which still, of course, includes people who reside in Taiwan and the work that I do here. But now it's really allowed the work to expand. And even looking back, the work is made possible because of the advances in technologies that we have today that we didn't even have some years ago. And so that is in part why my work has been able to go from a more local based work into this global work. But so part of it's just my nature, the desire to serve on a global level and to really be a part of a vast community of extraordinary people from around the world. And then the other part of it is simply that we can do such work these days. It is possible that you and I can have a conversation sitting on other sides of the world and have people from all over the world listening to it.
That's so exciting. I love that. And I think that there's an assumption there, or maybe an acknowledgement is a better word than assumption, an acknowledgement of that deep human similarities, and that we have a spiritual quest, and we all go through transformation. And a lot of the boundaries that are drawn on maps and globes and in staterooms and all that stuff don't really speak to our true being.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good acknowledgement to make. I've long been fascinated as well, way back, with the diversity of humanity, yes. But through my travels, what I became intrigued by was that which we share, the commonalities of our human experience. And today, as I work with people from all over the world, what we're working on is that level of common humanity, that which we all share. There is the spiritual connection component to it, and we can talk about that and the size and the depth of that in terms of what it all means to be, sort of seeing ourselves at the level of that which we share. So we can celebrate all of our diversity, and that's what makes for such a colorful kaleidoscope of human existence on this world, is the diversity of it all,
right?
Both the nature and the people. And then dropping down a level, it's that, okay, so what is it that we truly share? And when we connect at that level, you know, you bring people from all over the world together into a conference call, and you connect at that level. And as you said, those borders, those boundaries, they just fall away. They don't exist anymore. We're all there just in that shared space of co-creation and co-understanding.
And it's amazing how easy, when we set that intention, the frequency of love, you know, a compassionate love, can dominate connection globally. That can be, I've experienced that on your call, that there is a real deep sense of, you know, honoring each other and really acknowledging that we are united and feeling that human love for one another.
Yes. Yes, when we start to connect in those frequencies, you could even call them levels of consciousness, those levels of consciousness that we share, which unite us. So we do share certain levels of consciousness which serve to divide us. For example, you could say hate as a level of human consciousness. That certainly is divisive. But as
Right.
we move into these higher frequencies, more what I call more spiritual frequencies or spiritual consciousness, we notice that we become unified within these frequencies, that love is itself a great unifier, as is compassion or mercy or forgiveness or tolerance. These are the great unifying consciousness, and we come together in these, and that's when the experience becomes really, really powerful.
And it builds. It seems that we become then part of a larger, well, our sense of self, we're not so individuated, but there is a larger sense of self that includes the relation to others or the connection to others.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that larger sense of self, because as you said that, I just had this image flash in my mind that when we begin to connect with each other in this way at these higher levels of consciousness, particularly love and light, I do a lot of work in the consciousness level of love and light, is that we experience the unity with each other much more readily and evidently right in front of, you know, we're really vibrating with it, connecting in it. But there is a sense of expanded self, personal self, that we are now growing into, even though, say, evolving or expanding into something much greater. Now, you mentioned that when you did my introduction, that we begin to experience life in a whole different way, in a way that we perhaps have never experienced before. And there, it's part of that. It's connected to that. As we move into love consciousness and begin to embody it with the fullness of ourself, not just as a thought or an idea, but so that it becomes part of the fabric of our being, we start to notice mm-hmm. that we expand, we grow, we become larger, and we become almost like a greater vessel or container for these frequencies. And then we're more able to sustain them and take them into the world so that we become the change maker as we bring these higher frequency consciousness, this unifying force into the communities that we are a part of.
And so then we become, just by being, I don't know how to say this, but like more deeply ourselves, we become catalysts for change and an invitation to others to experience that. That there's almost a, not contagious, but that it spreads, that people pick up on the frequency and respond to it.
Yes. It's a good way to look at it. It's like a virus. A benign,
right.
A very benign virus, right?
The virus of joy and love.
Exactly, exactly. And it is contagious and it does spread. And it doesn't mean that everybody that comes into contact with you is immediately going to, on a conscious level, say, oh, I feel different. But we are always operating on, particularly with these higher frequencies, on levels, frequencies that are beyond what the human conscious waking mind can take in. So we're always having an effect, whether we immediately notice it or not, or whether even someone else immediately says, gosh, being around you, I can feel a difference, which can sometimes occur. You know, just being with you,
right.
Someone will say, I feel different. I feel lighter or better about myself. But often it happens on a deeper subconscious level, but there is still an ongoing effect. We do change the frequencies of wherever it is that we are going and whoever it is we are connecting with, because we're carrying in such a powerful, powerful force of change and life.
And what brought you to this adventure, like in your global travels, what made you choose light and life and love? What was a little bit of your exploration on the inner global travel?
It's funny, people do ask me, yeah, the inner global travel, that's a great way to put it, because while I was moving around the world and living in different places, there, you know, on the surface that looks wonderful, and it was wonderful. There were many, many challenges going on, because there was this great inner journey that was happening in parallel, in concert with the external movement. And I can't say that I actually consciously at any point chose what the work that I'm doing now. In a way, I feel that it is, I've slowly guided to do it for a very, very long time. And that the thoughts mm-hmm. and concepts that I work with, at some point, they just very naturally and organically seem to arise within me as that with which I was aligned and that with which I wanted to serve the world. I noticed that in my own inner work, there was a period of very profound transformation that I had to go through. I'd say this was a good 7 to 10 year period, kind of in my 30s, a deeply transformative time in my life. And it was during those years that I first began to have very powerful spiritual experiences with, in particular, light and love. Now, I was a student of A Course in Miracles. You may have heard of the book. Many people have.
Right.
I worked with the book for a good 2 or 3 years. And that was around the time when I first began to experience that spiritual frequency of light within my being during some of the meditation work that I was doing as a result of my work with the Course in Miracles. And it grew from there. It was interesting. I had a conversation with a friend the other day who did A Course in Miracles. Now, The Course in Miracles can be a highly intellectual book. For those who have picked it up, you'll know it's a high-level metaphysics book. And at times, it can be very, very intellectual for people to kind of work through and figure out what's all being said. And he said, I spent a year with this, but I didn't find it really did much except expand my intellectual understanding. And I said, well, what was your spiritual experience with the book? And he said, I don't actually think I had a spiritual experience with the book. And I thought that was a really interesting answer, because I found that I did. And that's what was, for me, the great power of it, was not just that it expanded knowledge on an intellectual level, was that for the first time I began to experience the energy of light and love as a very radiant, very palpable source, both flowing within into me, so you see coming in, but then also mm-hmm. noticing what happens when it begins to radiate outward of me. And there were times I remember, you know, I would sit in my meditations and I was a little bit like a sunflower. My head would be way back. And I don't know if the sun was even out, but it was like that. Like I was simply drinking in sunlight, but it was, of course, heavenly light, you could say, you know, the light of the divine source is coming
absorbing
in.
Absorbing it into your being. Yeah.
Yeah. Just absorbing it in. And so from that, it just became a very natural and organic path for me to start working with it. The ideas would just show up, you know, this is what you need to be doing. This is who you need to be inviting. This is what you need to be creating. And so last year, and it was only last year, I opened up the School of Light and Life. This month is the 1 year anniversary. And,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And it's been an amazing year continuing to, for me, step into whole new realms of experience for myself, but also bringing work to people that I never previously did before. You mentioned the light gatherings as an example. And all of this is coming from within me, an increasing connection with who I am, knowing what it is that I am fully and completely about, having embraced it with the fullness of my being, having experienced the true transformative potential of spiritual energy, which is so much of the work we do. And just bringing that all to the world. So it's kind of the culmination of allowing myself to go through that long 7 to 10 year transformative period where there was a lot of confusion and doubt and uncertainty and what's going on and why aren't things happening the way I want them to happen. And there was a tremendous amount of angst that went along with that. But it does, you know, at the end of the day, it does come out of the dark tunnel and into the light. And that's where I am today, more in that place than ever before.
Did you have a sense during that deep period of transformation that all would be well? Did you have some sense that there was a path, that there was a part of you that had an expression for the world that you were the vehicle for, that you are here embodied? Because I noticed that you said that it's also about being here, not being abstracted completely out, but being here and carrying it with us. Living it from inside, having it come from within, as well as receiving it. Was
yes.
there a sense of trust that was there, whatever, however confusing our hearts and minds think it is?
There was a sense of that trust, but I'll be honest with you and say that I had to at times really do the work to connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't readily show up for me. I had to either say, for example, go into a really still meditation and connect with that part of myself, or connect with a person who could facilitate my entry into that place. For example, you mentioned at the beginning that I do coaching. I also do, you know, healing work as well. And I see myself as this person who facilitates other people's entry into that deep place of knowing and understanding. And that's what happens within the sessions, is that we facilitate their entry into that place, so they can experience themselves in a state of deep, profound knowing. Even though on the surface, yeah, there is all of this tumult going on, that for even an hour with me, they can experience that deeper level of connection with that knowing place. And that is so tremendously helpful as a kind of accelerator through the transformative process. And I did not have that. When I was going through this, I hadn't even heard of coaching at that time. I didn't really know it was possible to reach out and have people facilitate. But I would try to do it on my own, of course. And at times it worked and at times it didn't. At times I felt like I was just floundering for months on end without knowing what was going on and not feeling that connection with the knowing and not having the trust at all was deeply well with me. Now, in hindsight, I can say, yes, it was all deeply well with me, but that's in hindsight. At the time, I didn't always know it, and I wasn't always able to access it because the mind is just so busy trying to figure it all out and think it through and understand what's really going on.
Yeah, and make up a story about it and have a drama. I wonder, as you say that, a part of that that you got from the Course in Miracles allowed you to align the intellect and the spiritual bodies, or whatever we call them, energies within us, so that you had a way of understanding what you were experiencing.
That's a very good point.
Part of what you do in your meditations with people?
That's a really good point, Ika. I think that's worth emphasizing. That spirituality is kind of always a mix of the intellect, and you could say the heart, or the experience. A lot of the work that I do today is experience-based. I have noticed in conversations with friends, going online, for example, into spiritual forums, that there is a tremendous amount of dialogue still that seems to be happening at what I call the philosophical level of spirituality. So people are debating and arguing about and tossing about what they believe in terms of spiritual experiences, what's true or what's not true. And this is problematic to the degree that it gets in the way of the experience. And so more and more, I am guiding people into an experience. In fact, we could do that in a minute or two here for our listeners. But to guide people.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, to guide people into that experience. Now, I don't want to discard the importance of the understanding component of it. It is part of our human nature to want to know and to want to understand and to make sense of things. And we've got a brilliant tool called the mind that is capable of organizing. And yes, there are times when what we don't understand, some light is shone on it, we do feel better in that moment. Okay, I understand this and I can relax a little bit more into life. So there is a tremendous need for understanding that we have. But when it starts to the figuring out or the intellectualizing it of it gets in the way of the experience, then we've created a barrier. So the more that we can allow ourselves the experience of ourselves as spiritual beings, the better.
That's really beautiful. Because I think it's really about how we do each day. When you were talking about the philosophical debates, it made me think of the old medieval argument about how many angels can dance on the head of the pin, which is perhaps a fascinating discussion, but what does it do to the quality of your life?
Exactly.
But you mentioned leading one of these, and I would be delighted if you would do that for us and our listeners. So,
Well, let's take a moment to do that then.
And okay.
This may take 5 or 10 minutes, maybe a little bit longer for our listeners. Something a little bit unusual here on a radio show. We're going to take pause in our dialogue and invite you in to experience something a little different. I would invite you to simply be with whatever it is that you're experiencing. There's nothing that you need to be experiencing here. We're just going to invite in a potential. And for each of you listening, that experience may be different. But at the same time, we're beginning to harmonize ourselves, unify ourselves within this experience, because we're evoking a shared experience in these higher frequencies of light and love. So we begin just by taking a few breaths, allowing ourselves to go silent for a moment. With each breath, just breathe away anything that is not serving you right now. That may be some busyness of the mind, busyness of the body, nervousness, tension, fatigue. Just take a deep breath in and breathe it all away. It is through the heart that we invite in and activate the higher spiritual frequencies. And so we begin by simply drawing our mind's eye to the heart center. and feeling your desire for an experience of self. That is replete with these higher frequencies of love and light. It all begins with your desire for this experience. In your mind's eye, activate that desire through your heart center so that your heart may simply open to these higher frequencies. So that your heart may calibrate to these higher frequencies. There is a common conception in our minds that love is something with which we must ourselves generate. But the reality is that love is the fabric of universal existence. Love flows through all things. It is a magnificent source of energy to which we can connect and calibrate so that more and more of it can imprint upon our own consciousness. So in your heart and in your mind's eye, open to receive invite in love. Invite in light. Stay as open as you can to simply receiving your consciousness, and even your physical body, will begin to adjust itself to receive this inflow of divine goodness. Simply focus on your desire to receive. let go of any expectations that you may be having at the moment around what you should be experiencing. Some of you may even be experiencing some discomfort and wondering why it is that as you open to love, you would feel discomfort. But know that when two frequencies come together, they must first move through a period of, you could say, becoming compatible. So as the frequency of your human consciousness comes into contact with the frequency of divine consciousness, there can be some moments of discomfort and discomfiture that accompany the process of the two becoming as one. Simply notice it and know that this is a natural and organic part of the process. And the more that you do this, the more that you allow yourself to open up to and receive and be imprinted upon by these higher frequencies, the more you are recalibrating your system to something altogether different, altogether more sublime, altogether more divine. And in this very way, you can come to know that you are loved. That all of this is freely available to you at any time of your choosing. The only barriers to your experience lie within. But in time you shall come to know the fullness of this love for you and experience yourself in this very way. And with that, we can just take a breath or two as we return to a normal waking consciousness. We'll return to our conversation, Nika, and just invite our listeners back in to join us. But this time, you're coming back in carrying a heightened sense of that which we are speaking about because of the experience that you have just had. So as you listen to the rest of our conversation, you can just continue to stay within this vibratory frequency that you are now experiencing. Anika?
Leon, that was lovely. It's a beautiful experience of both your coaching and your healing skills. It was lovely. I'm really honored that you spoke about focusing on the desire to receive. And that was really the only criteria, that there was no specific visualization. There was no, that it had to be a certain sort of experience, but that each person, each soul was invited to have their own experience and to focus on the desire for that love and to receive the love. That was very beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned that conception that people have that so often, you know, I need to feel this. I need to generate love. I need to. Yeah. And that can be hard at times when we are going through something in particular that is trying on us to self-generate. And so here we can know that it's not always that that's what we need to be doing. Sometimes it just is a matter of saying in the moment, just allow me to receive what's there. And just going still enough so that we can open heart center and the mind to receiving. And then just allowing ourselves to move within the knowing that whenever we open our heart in the smallest way to the receiving of that which is available to us, there will be an effect within our being. Something will shift.
Yeah, that it just responds so immediately. I remember when I lived in New York and would encounter parts of myself that were in great need of love and light, just offering them up, like holding them out, like you were talking about your face being like the sunflower. Just say, there is a part of me that needs love.
Yes.
Dear universe, please bring this out from the darkness instead of hiding it or burying it. Just saying, oh, poor little part. Let me offer you up.
That's it right there. There is no shame in those moments of those parts which need light, love, compassion, healing, whatever it needs to be. And we all need healing in some way. There's always some aspect of our being that it's kind of the shadow side, if you will. And just saying it's okay to feel it. It's okay for it to be there. It's part of my humanity and my experience. But as you said, just offer it up. Here you go. And receive. And in time, like you can keep doing this with the things that are challenging for you, with the barriers to self that exist within all of us, as you just continue this work, over time, it starts to change. Things lighten up. The experience of life becomes altogether different. It's quite a remarkable process. Nothing complex, you know.
It doesn't take those little tiny choices.
That's okay. Yeah, it's those little tiny choices, right? It doesn't take, you know, months and months in an Indian ashram listening to philosophical conversations around all of this to begin to really shift your very way of being in this world. It's those little decisions made in each moment by simply desiring for something altogether different and then allowing yourself to connect with it.
And it's amazing that it always comes.
Yes. Because it's always there.
Right.
It's only us.
It is what it is. I love the fabric of the universal energy, that it just is the essence of everything. And if we can allow ourselves to acknowledge it and choose that acknowledgement, and then life becomes a very different place. So I have a question for you that we hadn't discussed beforehand, but I would like to know how this informs your parenting.
Great question.
The hardest, most wonderful, most amazing job in the world, where there's the most love of all.
Oh, exactly. You know, and boy, oh boy, does it, parenting is just an extraordinary gift. For the listeners, I have two children. One is 7 and one is 4. And so, you know, what I love about being a parent, of course, is the experience of unconditional love. Just unconditional love. It's just there. So that's the one great side of it. I get to experience unconditional love. No, but the other side of it is the kids know how to push every single one of my buttons. They've all figured
watch
it out very
daddy
quickly.
Jump.
Yeah, watch daddy jump, right. So your question is how it informs my parenting. Well, it allows me, because they know how to push all these buttons, to just continue to bring to the surface so much of that which is within me that needs to be examined. You know, the deep hidden beliefs and assumptions about the way the world is, or the way children ought to be, or the way things ought to be. And all of that needs to come up and just be re-examined in light of the fact that they're triggering me in some way around something. And it could be something as simple as, you know, my belief in being on time for things. And they're kind of saying, time? What's time? Who needs time? Just show up when we're ready. You know, so it, you know, triggers me. No, it's important to be on time. So these little things can come up, and sometimes it's bigger things. But in terms of working with them, it is now for me important to begin to have conversations with them when the time is right, mm-hmm. and at the level with which they can receive it around all of this, so that they can become privy to my work. You know, I have my office, and they know that Dad does something called coaching and healing and does some working with people, right. This and that. And they're not always really sure what it is. But at the same time, I want them from a young age to become aware of their place in a vast cosmos. I want them to become increasingly aware of the source of life, that the source of life is active and alive within them, that they're able to turn to spirit when they are challenged in some way. We can more openly talk about love, what it means to love someone. We can contextualize the challenges of their life. If my daughter comes home and says, you know, there's a girl at school and she's doing this and that to me. Well, it gives us a context for a conversation that is broader, because we have now something, you know, really powerful to connect to. So what would, when you listen quietly to yourself, what does spirit kind of want you to do here? Well, how are you being guided or shown that you could act in this way? And just let her then talk that out. But that's a much broader context than most people do work with in parenting situations. And so that's what it's afforded me. It's these conversations with children about the most meaningful things in the world, at least what I consider meaningful, my value system, of course, but what I consider meaningful. And so that they grow not sensing a disconnect from spirit and from the universe, from the divine, but from a young age sensing and learning to feel within this connection. And to me, that's the greatest thing that I could ever give a child, is so that, you know, I work with so many people who come to me in adulthood who have lived a lifetime of disconnect from spirit. And there is something that's kind of calling them back in, and they're wanting to explore it. And I think that's wonderful. But I also recognize that so many of these people, if life, you know, had been different, if they may have had more exposure to some of the experience and concepts of a life lived in concert with spirit, you know, that we're not separate from this greater cosmos. We are a piece of it, an intricate mm-hmm. piece of this puzzle. And how that may have changed the trajectory of their life and their life experience if they had had this from a young age. And so, yeah, how do we bring it to children, and how do my children respond to it? And what will this mean for them as they go through their life? These are some of the things that's afforded to me because of parenting. So it's both for myself and for them as well.
That's really beautiful. And I know that children are very often deeply receptive to this kind of information. They haven't learned how to block their reception to it. You know, and when you offer them the connection that and adult acknowledgement of it, it begins to flower in them as opposed to be separated as they get more and more socialized.
Yes, yes. And I am not religious. I don't go to church. My wife is Buddhist, and so we do occasionally go to the temple, the Buddhist temples here, and do some offerings and prayers and whatnot, which I think is wonderful, because I think it's important for my kids to just freely interact with various religions. It's not about not being religious. It's just that I am not. And so what I don't bring in is any kind of a certain doctrine that I would like my children to believe. And when I'm not bringing in a doctrine, but I'm just kind of sprinkling thoughts around, what you just said is exactly right. They are really, really receptive to it. Like my 4-year-old, if I just mention God, okay, so what's God? Well, that's a good question. Wow. You got an hour? You know? it's a big one. So I have to kind of, okay, so how do I explain God to this? But then later on, you know, it'll come up again in some way. So God's in me. Yeah, you could say God is in you. That's a good way of looking at it. And it just opens up the door again. Yeah.
Right. It's very profound, but 4-year-olds are really good at that, you know?
Yeah. No barriers.
Saying this thing. Yeah. Exactly. So that they tune in very, very, very deeply.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful to witness.
Oh, just extraordinary. And they can teach us so much by their receptivity to it and their openness.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I'm gaining. It's
yes,
opening up a whole new world for me.
We learn to sort of be discreet about it or hide it. And children can really live, you know, in any kind of gathering, if there are little children there that are playing, it's amazing how quickly the grown-ups bond around them.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that they bring that sense of joy and connectedness and just awe and celebration of being alive.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite extraordinary. Yeah. I did want to go into one other thing, which is how do we choose, having had this marvelous experience with you, Leon, and you're being so open and sharing about the wonderful challenge of children, how do we choose to stay or reconnect or acknowledge this place? Do you have some? I mean, I think going to your light gathering is a wonderful way to reinforce it externally. But in terms of daily life, you know, do you have some suggestions or some tools that you give people?
One of the things that I say to all my clients that we're working with and helping them move into a more positive experience in life, and this doesn't necessarily need to be spiritual, because I want to just mention that I don't always work with people on a kind of a spiritual level. Like, I am operating from that place, but that's not always where the conversation is. For example, I work with clients who just want to come in and feel a higher flow of positivity in their life. Okay. Uh-huh. So we're just working on a positive energy, or I want to feel happier. I want to feel a bit more joyful. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. You know, we don't have to talk about spirit at all to be working with this. And so what I'm going to share here, I share with all my clients in some way at some point, because it really, for me, is the essence of the work. And it has to do with continuing to find ways to immerse yourself in those higher frequencies that you are desiring to be a part of. So there's two aspects. One is that we can self-generate. We can attempt to self-generate higher flows of positive energy in ourselves by shifting the way we think, our attitudes. We can definitely do that work, and we need to do that work. The other side of it, we did this in the meditation, is opening oneself to what is available. So simply opening the heart center to what's available so you can feel more happiness or positivity in your life. Because the greatest challenge we have is that if each person thinks of themselves as vibrating at a certain frequency, and that frequency will be kind of a culmination of all the frequencies that you surround yourself with. So if you're watching the news for an hour or two at night, and then you follow it with an episode of CSI where someone has murdered someone or someone's killed this or that, and you watch another show where someone's harmed other people in some way, as an example, right? So you've spent your day, let's say, at work, and it was a really tense environment, and you went home and you watched a couple of shows where people are harming each other in some way, emotionally, physically, then you're going to be vibrating closer to that frequency. And that's what you will experience. You're likely then to experience more drama in your life, more tension in your life, maybe more outbursts of anger. That's just the reality of it. So what you're opening yourself to and what you're immersing yourself in, you're going to experience more of. So we're vibrating at our own frequency, whatever that may be for each of us. Now, the challenge is that we want to move our frequency up the ladder to a higher vibration. It's still very easy to fall back into the old patterns because we are really deeply grounded and rooted in that particular frequency. And if we go into our day and we are surrounding ourselves continuously with the things of that frequency, then it acts like just a mighty elastic band just pulling us back. Whoopsh. So we meditate for an hour a day. We feel great for an hour. We shift our frequency. Then we go to work and our boss yells at us. We get into some argument here. We do some negative you know, news watching over here, death, murder, destruction. And then we wonder why we don't feel as good as we did in the morning in that hour. Well, it's just all of that stuff's just going to pull us right back to our kind of our native home vibration. So the big challenge for people is to shift their vibrational level and sustain it at these higher levels. And so the work is to take a very good look at what you are surrounding yourself with, what you're putting into yourself, and what you're opening yourself to. And then start to make some very clear choices about that which you know better supports your movement and sustaining that higher frequency. So that becomes the work. And when people really start to look at this, they start to make very big changes in their life. They start to notice all the pieces that are acting as a mighty drag, both externally, and I'll say this, there's two components. There's the external environment, which can act as a drag, that which you're kind of putting into yourself, exposing yourself to. And there's all the stuff of the inner life, right? All the negative thoughts, negative beliefs, limiting beliefs, all of that has to be looked at too. So it's a big process, but this is the work. This is the work of shifting, not just for an occasional experience of myself as greater than, but sustaining myself in that way. So look at what's going on in your life within and without and start to make changes. Start to immerse yourself more and more within that which sustains you at these higher frequencies that you're desiring to experience for yourself. If they're joy or peace or happiness, whatever that may be, just make sure that more and more of your life is being oriented in that way, both within yourself by clearing out that which gets in the way and that which you immerse yourself in, and that will begin to really sustain you. So if coming to something like a light gathering at the School of Light and Life would help you, then come to that. As Nika said, once a month we have a global light gathering. You just need to go to the site, schooloflightandlife.com, and follow the links to sign up for the light gathering. Once a month we have it, and we come together and we really immerse ourselves in these frequencies, just as we did earlier in this call. Wonderful. There are meditations on the site. There's all kinds of things you can access, readings, meditations, and just continue to feed yourself this, because this is what's ultimately going to shift your consciousness state to these higher frequencies so that you experience life altogether differently for a sustained period of time.
That's really beautiful. And, I think it's about the work and those little choices, and it's so nice when we find communities to support us, and I do feel like the internet and the technology has been a wonderful blessing in that, as we can find people around the world to share with and support.
Exactly. It's all there for us. It is all there. The internet is a wonderful tool. We just have to be very discerning as to what we feed ourselves from the internet.
Exactly. Like everywhere else, we have a choice.
Right. We have a choice, right? What are
and
you feeding yourself?
And it's reflected in our life. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you, Leon, for choosing to talk to us today. I really appreciate it. This was wonderful. And thank you so much for the time you've taken.
Oh, thank you, Nika. A true pleasure. You know, I love speaking about this and the work and just serving people in this way. So thanks for having me. Great to be here.
It's such an inspiration. Thank you.